Welcome to a very mellow We Are Libertarians here on the internet. I almost said on WXNT, where I used to work. Sorry. This week, we have a special episode, as it might be Chris Galt's last episode. We're a little worried that he might have had too much caffeine.
Whatever, I'm fine. So,
you're twitching.
So if Galt talks a lot.
They are over-exaggerating.
Okay.
So,
is there
we're
going like
to talk about Chick-fil-A this week, aren't we?
Is there
we?
Anything you'd like to say to your family? It's your last recorded moments on Earth.
So,
never take things that your brother gives you.
Do you have a buddy to go by and clean up your apartment should you die that way?
Do you have an emergency plan just in case your heart explodes? These energy drinks are very dangerous. You should not take energy drinks. So,
I mean, your goatee is twitching.
All right.
So, this week, Creighton Harrington is actually... Aww. Where is Creighton at?
He's at the Young Americans for Liberty National Convention in Washington, D.C.
Really?
So, I bet he's having a great time. I wish I was there.
Yeah.
But there are a few people from YL, Indiana there.
Like who? Can you name them quickly?
Can I name them quickly?
Yes.
Nate O'Connor, Creighton Harrington, maybe some people from Purdue. Maybe Daniel Peffers is there. I'm not sure exactly who's there.
Oh. What about Andrew Reno? Did he go?
Andrew Reno is not there. No. He got invited, but he didn't go.
Sell out.
So joining us this week is Evan McMahon. He's a well-known figure in the Libertarian Party of Indiana circles, and he's a gay rights activist, and he's a single bachelor.
That's right. you can find my dating profile on Adult Fan Finder.
just look up nothing. So Evan's joining us this week. I think we're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about? We have anything planned? Galt?
That would be you.
Could you pay attention? Put your phone down.
I'm pulling up my notes because I take notes before
I need your
podcasts.
I need your full focus.
All right.
When we're doing comedy here.
All right, we're trying to talk about Chick-fil-A.
This
I
is
think.
A well-lubed machine here.
Probably the number
we need to.
Really I'm going to keep us on task because I know if I don't, you guys won't.
All right.
All right. So the story goes, Chick-fil-A has always been known as a Christian-based organization.
Closed on Sundays.
Closed on Sundays. Really friendly. Sorry, but if you've ever been to a Chick-fil-A, they're always overly happy.
My
they
pleasure.
Except for the Chick-fil-A at the school, because they hire different... They don't hire
they hired college students.
They hire college students who are always like, hire, what kind of sandwich do you want?
They don't hire kids that look like Mormons.
So anyway...
They do. You go in there, it's blonde hair, blue-eyed. It's.
I think it started about last year. Some... People discover.
I just real quick. When am I allowed to jump in and correct facts? Correct things.
We have to get. This is only an hour show, so okay. We'll point at you.
All right.
In my opinion, okay. It started around last year. They started getting real criticism nationally because of some organizations they've been donating to, some pro-traditional family organizations.
That's a good way of saying it.
Pro-traditional family organizations. That's the way they call themselves.
That's right.
Is what they call themselves. Yeah.
And the Klan is just a social group.
Okay, calm down over there.
He doesn't even know my side yet, and he's already on me.
I would like to make it clear that the opinions of those on the show are the opinions of them themselves and do not reflect the opinions of any organization ever mentioned or brought to you by this podcast. Thank you. It's a disclaimer.
So... I mean, they didn't really get crazy until they didn't. Chick-fil-A did not back down to that criticism. Chick-fil-A, the guy stood up. He said, "I'm anti-gay." Blah blah blah.
Well, actually,
that's
he didn't
not exactly
say
how he said it.
He basically did.
No.
He's like,
actually, for years, Chick-fil-A just
right.
said that.
Right.
We believe
that's
in
what I'm saying.
Families,
but it didn't get crazy blah, 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 until earlier this year when he said that.
He said.
Well, what he actually
what did
he
actually
was,
say? What's the quote?
When he was asked by a Baptist a newsletter group
Baptist
website,
Press, yeah.
Baptist Press. They were talking about their stance on traditional marriage and having a slight anti-gay agenda, and his response was, "Guilty as charged." It wasn't that he was coming out and saying all of the things that you just said. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
I mean, he said guilty as charged to being an anti-gay organization.
He said that.
So he basically said, "I'm anti-gay."
he basically his stance is that the people who work for Chick-fil-A, they support traditional family values. They've all been married to their first wife. And I mean, it wasn't just that he focused on homosexuality. He had a litany of things that they support as a business.
And recently I've seen the company itself try to distance themselves from him.
Yes.
They have publicly.
Yeah, even just 2 days ago.
Yeah. And I've seen protests at the school on IUPUI. Mm-hmm. They had a Nix the Chick event. Huge. Yeah. Had like a rainbow or a, they had a chicken dress up and then, you know, be gay. And just no, I'm serious. They were making fun of him. It was a gay chicken.
Okay.
anyway, and they had a huge, they had a big discussion on campus, in one of the main areas.
That was the least eloquent thing ever on the show.
I mean, I didn't know how else to say it. They had a gay chicken.
Did he go in and redecorate Kavanaugh Hall? He made Kavanaugh Hall look a little bit nicer.
No, he just stood in front of the Chick-fil-A and told people.
Or did it said this place needs a fresh coat of paint? Come on!
Told him not to buy Chick-fil-A. Anyway, there's a big movement on campus right now to get Chick-fil-A off campus just because of this.
That and you know that's a state school, so
and I'm sure that's happened at many schools.
It happened at IU. It happened in New York. It's happened across the country, and it's actually not because of their values or their beliefs or anything like that. The thing that people are missing in this entire debate is you take someone like me who has a known history of standing up for the rights of people that I oppose and groups that I oppose. I've spoken out for the Klan when they've been denied rights to rally and hold organizations. I've publicly spoken out in support of the rights of the Westboro Baptist Church. Those are the ones that have the signs that say God hates fags that picket at funerals. I support their First Amendment rights. So I have a pretty good history behind me of being able to support people's rights, even ones that don't like me. So I would support Chick-fil-A's rights to be able to stand up and say, we support traditional families. We don't agree with the homosexual lifestyle because that's the way they
work. What about when it comes to money?
Where I have a problem and where I draw the line for me personally – is when you start funding organizations that have lobbied Congress to support the Ugandan bill that puts homosexuals to death. It makes homosexuality a capital crime. When they fund organizations that have lobbied legislators across this country to bring back sodomy laws specifically to target homosexuals so that they could be imprisoned and treated like sex offenders. When you give millions of dollars to these organizations including ones that torment and physically or mentally torture LGBT youth via forced conversion therapies. I have a problem.
Do you have any sources for this?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I've shared them with Chris Spangle, who would be more than happy to include links to all of these.
Don't you bring me into this.
I mean, who?
All of their funding.
This is why I had you on to fight with him.
Right. The Windshape organization, which is the nonprofit side of Chick-fil-A. Which Kathy actually sits on that board as well as being the president of Chick-fil-A.
Dan Kathy, not the cartoon from the comic strip.
I don't even know what
Mr.
That is.
Kathy. Right. All of their expenditures are public record. So you can go and check that out for yourself.
Right. But they do more than just this, right? This evil thing that you're talking about.
Oh, most of the money that they have given out has gone to organizations just like this. Focus on the Family, the Family Research Council, The Family, but, the Eagle Forum. One major contribution that they gave that was over $1 million was to a national organization that actually is – they take that $1 million and they fund it to places like the Eagle Forum and places like that. It's a clearinghouse for hate money, in my opinion. You don't want to be seen giving money to an organization that lobbies for the chemical castration of homosexuals in the United States. Give it to this organization and they'll you know, wipe your hands off of it and then give it to that group for you. So that's where my anger comes from, is it's not just your belief and that you're standing up and saying, I don't support homosexuality, I support traditional marriage. Now you're actually expending resources to have my right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness stripped away. That you are actually pushing legislation
But Chick-fil-A is the one pushing the legislation.
They're funding the organization.
And honestly, the organizations aren't either. It's the legislators.
No.
It is the legislators.
No.
An organization can't vote in laws.
No, but they push it. They lobby it. They take it to them and they give it to them.
There's lobbies on both sides.
That's true. But I'm not going to stand up and I'm not going to give money to them.
So should lobbying be outlawed?
No.
No, because you want to censor the lobbying from the side you don't agree with.
No, I don't want to censor them. Let's get one thing very clear right off the get-go. I do not want to censor them. They have the right to do this. To say this. But I have the right to not go to Chick-fil-A.
Right.
And I have the right to tell my friend Chris here, hey, by the way, Chick-fil-A funds organizations that want people like me put to death.
Did you take diet pills today, too?
I did.
So, all right.
Let's just
I agree with that.
Like, I don't agree with what's going on in
Boston. You do not have to go to Chick-fil-A if you don't agree with what they say.
That's right.
But are you saying they shouldn't be allowed to give that money to those organizations?
They should be allowed to give
Okay.
They totally should.
Then we agree. We 100% agree.
I think if they wanted to give all of their corporate profits to those organizations, they have every legal right to do so. But I have every legal right to go out and boycott and to spread that information.
If what they're doing is wrong, then and people stop going there, they'll go out of business.
And here's the other thing. I don't want Chick-fil-A to go out of business because
they have really good sandwiches.
I love their sandwiches. And their customer service actually is one of the best of any fast food restaurants in the country.
Consistent food, delicious banana pudding milkshakes.
Oh, the banana pudding. I remember when the peach milkshakes were amazing. I've never had the banana.
This, and it's actually been a couple of years, not just 1 year. It's been going on for 2 years. It's just now reaching.
Yeah.
And it's because of his statement to the Baptist press. What's going on in Boston, where the Boston mayor is standing up and saying, we're not going to let them here?
And Rahm Emanuel?
I disagree with that.
Okay.
The business has every right to be there, and they have every right to operate.
Right.
The government shouldn't be enforcing their morality, even though I happen to agree with their morality. They shouldn't be enforcing that morality on a business or
on any
citizen.
I'm glad you said that, because that's, I think, a fundamental part of libertarianism.
Right.
Even if they're wrong.
Even
if Chick-fil-A is 100% wrong.
That's why I stand up and support the Westboro Baptist. I think they're the most disgusting, vile people on the planet.
Right.
But they have the right to assemble.
Right.
Just the same as I have the right to spend $800 to get a 10-foot flag to have the Patriot Guard stand in front of them.
Yeah, were protesting down here at the Super Bowl, and
we
had our Ron Paul protest come right up in front of them, stand in front of them. Everybody loved us.
And that's the actions that you can take. So what we're doing is we're saying, hey, look, don't be fooled. When they're just standing up and saying, oh, you're attacking us because we protect traditional marriage. No, we're boycotting you, and we're spreading this message because the organizations that you fund, the leaders of those organizations are consistently invited to be speakers at Chick-fil-A corporate events who come and talk about these moralities. So your organization supports these things. You support, through funding and through promotion of these organizations, the ideas that sodomy laws should be brought back for homosexuals, that they should be treated like sex offenders, that it's okay to kill a gay.
Do you really think that Dan Cathy thinks that it's okay for gay people to get killed?
I hope not. But if not, then why would you give the money to the organizations that are actively lobbying Congress to get them to not say anything about Uganda?
This is a question that I want to ask you, because what those groups were asking for was actually non-interventionism.
No, that's not true.
That is from everything that you sent me and that I researched on my own. Basically, here's the situation. Let's explain the situation before we yell at each other.
The Family Research Council wanted the resolution that was supposed to decry or oppose the Ugandan legislation. Uganda was trying to pass a law that said that if you committed a homosexual act more than once, that you could be put to death.
Right, but
if you knew that a person had committed a homosexual act or had entered the country, you had 24 hours to report it. Failure to do so could get you put in prison for 3 years. The Family Research Council, as well as the family, all lobbied Congress to get them to change the wording in the resolution. And the wording that was changed had nothing to do with not killing gays.
Whose resolution?
It was a resolution in Congress, and I honestly can't remember who authored the resolution. But the wording that they wanted changed was in the resolution, it said basically that sexuality and gender identity were a fundamental human right. They wanted that stripped out. They did not want legislation moving forward that said homosexuality is a basic human right, or sexuality is a basic human right. That was the only thing that they wanted changed. They also pushed to have the entire bill killed. Now, the Family Research Council has some problems here, because they then turn around and say, oh, well, we just wanted some of the language changed. We still oppose the bill. The problem with that is members of the family and members of the Family Research Council had spent a lot of time in Uganda working to help draft that law.
How do you know that, though?
It's public record. They've openly admitted to it. They have events where the members of their parliament have come to the United States and spoken at Family Research Council events. This is not just, you know, like pie in the sky. Oh, it's a theory. No, I mean, they advertise the fact that these people were coming and speaking at their events. They advertise the fact that we're going to Uganda for a Christian mission, you know, and this is who we're meeting with. Oh, it just happens to be the three people who authored this bill. Then they put it in their press. Then they put it in their newsletters.
If
oh yeah, I'm sure they went there, and an organization that deals a lot with homosexuals in the United States didn't once talk about, you know, this bill that you have putting homosexuals.
But maybe they had conversations against that bill. I mean, how do we know that they're? I mean, that's sort of where I want to challenge you a little bit, and not because I'm saying that you're wrong, but just to find out a little bit more. I mean. How do we know that they didn't go over and argue against evil? Because the thought of a country,
because when you have photos of and pictures of them with the people who are authoring this legislation, smiling and happy, and they continue to go there and they continue to send these organizations.
But we have
money.
Pictures of Rand Paul smiling with Obama. Like that doesn't mean that they were co-opting something together.
Weren't they actually talking about a piece of legislation that they both supported? Thank you.
Okay, he just pink slammed you.
Yeah, there you go. A glitter boom, bomb your ass.
Boom roasted.
So it's
it sounds like a lot of speculation.
I have hardcore fact that they sat down with a pen and helped them draft that legislation? No. Have they given any effort or any proof to say that they weren't there supporting that bill, or that they were there to try to talk them out of it? No. All of the evidence, if this was to go to court, if this was in a court of law, the evidence, well, maybe circumstantial at best. Mm-hmm. It's miles and miles and pounds and tonnage of circumstantial evidence.
And when challenged with it, people like Rick Warren actually
basically distance themselves.
They don't say one way. They don't go pro or against. They sort of say, I'm not getting involved in the politics of another country.
Right, right.
So,
but which is disingenuous, because he actually had meetings with him as well. So you did get involved. It's just now you want to back off and make you don't want to come out and say, yeah, I talked to them about this. And
well, Rick Warren was at the inauguration for Obama, but that doesn't mean that they agree on every policy. And obviously,
exactly.
Obama is let's be honest. Obama's not our perfect president.
He is not the fierce advocate.
But he's
for
not arguing for
he, to be.
Well, and he's not arguing for people to be murdered.
No,
at least not in this country.
Well,
but
not yet, anyway.
I mean, yeah. So I think there's different differences, but I think circumstantial is the point that I'm trying to make. I mean, it's disappointing that there isn't a proactive statement saying that this is wrong and that this is evil. And
I mean, here's the
be.
Thing.
If there is, I haven't seen it.
If you had a business that you gave $1 million to an organization, and somebody came to you and said, hey, you might not be aware of this, but that organization has supported this legislation, has supported this bill in this country, has advocated for the end of or the reinstatement of sodomy laws. You could either say, wow, I didn't know that. I don't agree with that. There are other things in their activities that I do agree with. I'm going to go find another organization. And I can't believe I'm getting ready to say this. The National Organization of Marriage, NOM, run by Maggie Gallagher.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
NOM.
I love
NOM,
their name.
NOM.
they advocate. They go out and they speak about traditional families. And all they do is talk about marriage.
Right.
That's it. And traditional family. That's all they do. They don't talk about any other issue. if it was traditional families and marriage that you were supporting, you could have given money to that organization. That could have been your banner organization, sure, which is a national organization here in the United States that has tons of media coverage. They get invited on every news program. That could have been your organization.
But there isn't that
response.
And there isn't that gray area where there's a question.
Their response from Chick-fil-A 2 years ago was, we support that organization.
Mm-hmm.
We support their mission.
They've distanced themselves over the years from the notion that they've never been this explicit. And I think that's...
And it's getting more and more to where they're standing up and saying, I want to be proud of the fact that I'm going to support this organization. Hey, you know what? More power to you. My dollar's going somewhere else, and I'm going to make a point to tell everyone I know. And then every business that I deal with, I'm going to say, why are you dealing with this organization?
I think this is...
That's the power of the free market.
There's a couple broader things that I really want to actually talk about. You know, first is the idea that businesses, corporations, which... are government sanctioned. I mean, their corporations are entities created by the government. Okay, now the idea of people voluntarily getting together, pooling their money together, creating an organization where they make products and sell products and goods, that's not what I'm talking about. The special tax structures that are created, mm-hmm, like S corporations, those are government entities. Do you guys have a problem with corporations giving money to charities or to political campaigns? Some people see it as free speech. Others see it as a total waste of time. I personally, if I ran a corporation or a business, I would never give money. I would never give corporate money to a private organization or a campaign, for instance. And let me explain that. Because I would rather give that money that I would give out to my employees to let them give out themselves, let them make the decision. I mean, instead of taking their wages and controlling it.
I mean, if I'm the head of the company, if I'm, you know, like I do own a company, mm-hmm, and my profit is my profit.
Right.
I can choose to give my employees more money, mm-hmm, or I can decide to do things within my community. My issue isn't that corporations give money and that they do those things. My issue is the relationship with the government.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they should be getting those subsidies or those tax incentives or any of those special classes that they get. They should be treated just like any other company that was founded by anybody else. They should have the same corporate responsibilities. They should have the same relationship with the government as the small mom and pop shop that doesn't get those abatements, that doesn't get any of that crap.
I have no
problem with it. But you're right. There is a problem when you see a company who is getting, you know, public funding when a business has a new road put in specifically for them. Done by the county or by the city or the state, when you have all of these things that do happen, yeah, maybe there should be a restriction on what they can and can't give
and
their money to.
And this is where I feel sympathetic to liberals because – and I don't say that very
much.
But
it's gonna be
I understand ringtone. Why they don't. Like the corporatism is terrible.
Talk right into the mic, buddy.
Corporatism. It's just – wow. I watched a video yesterday.
He's not
corporatism,
feeling well.
Man.
I watched a video yesterday called Markets, Not Capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we
don't – like what Republicans call capitalism isn't capitalism.
Right.
It's really not. It's just corporations
it's
running the government.
Right. It's crony corporatism.
And I see that in this example right here,
mm-hmm,
or what you're talking about.
Right.
It's just – the corporations – I don't have a problem with them giving money, but – and they're giving money so they can receive special benefits from the government. That's where it's wrong.
So
when the government returns the favor, that's when it's wrong.
Would it be an unlibertarian solution to say that corporations can't give to...
No, the libertarian solution is to fix the government.
Yeah, no, I think the libertarian solution to this would be to say we've got one or two options here, and both have to be examined and vetted and put into place. We bar corporations from political or nonprofit contributions until the government is treating those corporations the same as every organization. And I mean, it boils down to how your corporation is formed as well. Like I actually have an LLC, which is treated as an individual. I'm taxed like an individual. I actually pay the taxes out of my own personal income tax. So I'm not treated like a corporation, and I don't get any of the benefits that an Inc. would get.
Right.
And that's my choice. Maybe we should do away with incorporations like that. Maybe it should, you know, something has to change where it's an individual type of mindset as opposed to the corporatist mindset. If any of that made any sense.
No, it makes sense. I think it's an interesting discussion that libertarians actually have to think about, because this is one of the things that I struggle with. I think every libertarian has that one issue that they really look at it and they go, I know I need to be principled and libertarian here, but at the same time, corporations giving money to politicians especially is, I know it's First Amendment free speech.
That's not the part that's wrong.
But it's
the part that's wrong is the reaction from the government, the lobby or the earmarks, the special
right.
interests.
But
like a company giving money to a politician or a campaign is not the wrong part.
But they have tried and tried and tried to limit the effect that money can have on the politicians, on the government side, and it's not really worked. And we actually were talking about earlier about the super PACs.
Right.
And, you know, Mike Pence here in Indiana just got $1 million donation from a super PAC.
And even the state is sitting there going, this shouldn't be legal,
right?
But it is. There's nothing we can do about it.
There's a $5,000 corporate contribution limit to state candidates, and he just got $1 million worth of corporate money that through a loophole.
And the loophole is ridiculous, too. Mm-hmm. The loophole is that the state has no regulation over a PAC that has filed both FEC nationally and within the state.
Right.
If it was one or the other.
And that's a super PAC, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. If it was one or the other, they would be able to. Even if it was a national PAC, they could come in and say, you're still limited by corporate funds. But because it was both, the law says that the state has no regulation. And that just that just drives me insane.
I had a little bit of experience with super PACs when I was in California. And really, there's nothing. There's almost no regulations on them.
Anybody can
give whatever they want to them, and they can give whatever they want to anybody, really.
It's
unlimited.
Isn't that free speech?
I think so. I have no problem with it.
I mean, I don't have an issue with the super PAC. The idea of a super PAC doesn't bother me, because one of the things that is that the super PAC cannot coordinate or contact the campaign that they're supporting. Now, one of the things that should be made clear is that I think if you do coordinate,
you have to be willing to prove that you're behind doors.
And if you do, I think you should go to prison.
a lot of them do.
But there's no investigation, there's no reporting, because it's the FEC looks at it and they say it's hard to prove whether or not something was coordinated or not.
I think this is just one of those areas that, I mean, and even as the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana, I don't have all the answers and I don't always know what the right answer with the libertarian solution is, and I think everybody kind of has that one issue. I actually see a lot of people who come into the Libertarian Party and guns are sort of like, well, do we really need semi-automatic rifles? And
do I really need a rocket launcher?
Right. That's actually what we're going to talk about.
How are you going to stop the tanks?
We're going to talk a little bit more about that in the next half hour here. But given what's happened in Colorado, but I think this is one of the complicated issues that libertarians. Government is a vast, complex organism that has to be changed, tweaked, and rolled back over time. And I think one of the difficulties is that corporations buy favor with the government. Now, if you went to all individual contributions and you eliminated loopholes and you eliminated corporate contributions to charities and to politicians, then you're going to see individual donations pick up. But
I don't really think it's that big of a deal.
Right.
I think our founding fathers said, and I think it's all about our educated population. They're not educated.
Mm-hmm. And that's and
both
that's
of the main parties are funded by Goldman Sachs.
And that's the whole
both
point
of the presidential
of this whole
candidates
entire
are,
thing.
And no one does anything about
right.
it.
That's this. That's why all of this stuff is with Chick-fil-A is happening, is because it's, I want to educate my friends to know that when you give money to Chick-fil-A, a portion of that dollar you spend will go to an organization that will lobby for my death or imprisonment.
I know, but honestly, you might disagree with me because of your background. But there are way more important things right now to worry about than Chick-fil-A.
And that,
there
that's,
really are.
That's and, one of the other
and,
broader issues.
And the public will get outraged about stuff like that. Colorado shooting is the front page of every newspaper.
Stop. Okay. Shut up.
And let me be clear. I advocate for the death of Evan every single day.
He really does.
Not because of his orientation, but because of his personality.
Let me explain something to you. There were more pressing things during the civil rights movement in the 60s. There were more important things. There was unemployment wasn't nearly as high as it is today. There were educational problems. There were tons of problems. There will always be something bigger and more important. But when it's you that somebody is advocating for you to be put to death, imprisoned, or tortured,
that's why I said it.
Then
be
it becomes a big issue.
Yeah, but okay, let's.
I'm just saying. But,
ease up on the hyperbole, there's you're not being put in jail or being threatened with death because of your orientation in America.
But somebody now, wants to.
In other countries, yeah, but somebody, there are probably people who want to murder the Westboro Baptist Church.
No. The Eagle Forum is lobbying for that legislation to return in the United
but
States.
But how many people have actually, let me kind of clarify what I mean. Okay, libertarians, now this goes back to the last point. Even with super PACs, even with the amazing amount of corporate money that the other two parties get, the Libertarian Party in 2008 had 2% on average. And 2 years later, in 2010, we had 5% on average.
Nationally?
Yeah, in Indiana at least.
Oh, in Indiana.
And here in Indiana, we're probably going to get somewhere between 8 and 12% averaging in this election cycle over the course of 4 years. So even
it's
in the
huge growth.
Even in the presence, just the fact of the internet is that common sense starts to prevail. And even if there are hateful assholes like the Eagle Forum who want to see sodomy laws returned.
Which your point is, you're saying it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, because society's
expanding. It's not going to happen.
Okay, well then I would ask you to go to the other four states that now have amendments to their state constitution banning same-sex marriage. Not because they believe the government shouldn't be involved in marriage, but they believe we should be able to have all these government benefits, just not them.
Right, but isn't that why libertarians constantly argue?
And they're being passed. They're moving forward. You look at Tennessee. You look at North Carolina. You look at the laws that they put in place. In one area, the schools now have anti-bullying policies that specifically exclude sexual orientation, that it actually says in their law that you are basically allowed to harass a gay or lesbian student if it's from a religious standpoint, meaning a teacher can say something to a student about immorality because of their religious beliefs in front of other students, that a student can be forced to be given tracts and ministered to within the hallways.
Right. But aren't we arguing for the same thing, though? I mean,
your statement is that things are getting better. And what I'm telling you is, no, they're not. They are miles better than they were. But every day we see another area where it's approach, going back to the way it was just 15, 20 years ago.
I was sitting and talking with a guy who was in his mid 70s the other day, and we were talking about Chick-fil-A, and he said, you know, when I was younger and even up until the last 15 years, when I saw a queer was a queer, and I wanted nothing to do with them because I thought they needed mental help.
Right.
And then I had a person in my family who was in the military, who did amazing work in an Indian reservation, who, you know, helped people, ministered to people in a Christian aspect. But she was living with a gal for 30 years, and I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I thought, I'm just wrong. I'm wrong. I've been wrong for 65 years.
You're right.
I mean,
and those stories, and I hear those stories literally
all the time,
every day.
Society—it's
changing. But
this is this is Americans always eventually get it right. It takes a long time to get to a point where the government is always far behind what the American population is. You know, there is.
But how do they get there? How do they get there?
Because society advances and realizes what they're doing is wrong.
But they have to say it.
Right.
They have to have protests. They have to have demonstrations. The government, which is what you're saying this isn't the right time for.
I didn't say that. I said there are more important things than Chick-fil-A.
You're right. But it's not about Chick-fil-A. It's not that we're protesting Chick-fil-A. That's the picture. That's the poster boy. But it's the mentality and the ideology. It's the fact that they're funding these organizations. It's to remind you there are people – even in this country, powerful, powerful people who have vast sums of money who can move into a state. And if you think I'm crazy, just watch the next year here in Indiana when they start lobbying for HJR 6. It's already started.
And libertarians have always been on the forefront of that.
Right.
I've given speeches arguing against that.
These
you're
types
talking
of things,
about powerful people,
but you're
and
saying
none
that,
of them are even half as powerful as Ben Bernanke.
But your argument is that you are less free and less safe than you were when you were in high school, and I just can't believe that
Indiana. In Indiana, and it's funny you should mention that because I think you do know my story in high school. Mm-hmm. It was I was even being in Bloomington, it was a living nightmare.
Right,
it was a living hell. But is it better today here
for
in Indiana
for high school students
in Indiana? Yes,
right.
In some places,
sure.
I mean, you just had a kid that was expelled from school because he brought a knife to school. Or it was, I think it was either a knife or pepper spray. But he brought a weapon to high school because he was being harassed and physically beaten on a regular basis. And the administration and the teachers did nothing.
Right. Bullying is a huge problem.
And then when he comes to school with a weapon to defend himself, he's the one who's expelled.
Well, weapons mm-hmm. aren't allowed on schools.
There's still problems.
Yeah, but what is that kid supposed to do, Gold? I mean, I'm not arguing
how is
for
it? Right.
weapons
I
on
agree.
School, but...
Right.
I mean,
teachers should be packing. My
point
okay,
is that example should have woken people up and said, even in Indianapolis, this is happening and this is a problem. But instead, the discussion was he shouldn't have brought a weapon to school. How about why did he feel the need to bring a weapon to school to defend himself?
Right.
Was it because the entire system is set up to not listen to him?
Right.
To not pay attention.
You're right.
And if you think he's the only kid in IPS who has had this problem, you're a fool.
Yeah. I think
he's just the only one that got news attention for
it. I think it just doesn't extend to LGBT kids. I mean, growing up as a fat kid, I was mercilessly tortured.
Yeah, but that's a choice.
Shut up.
Whoa.
I have a thyroid.
Hey, you know what? I get it all the time. It's nice to be able to say it to
somebody else. I have a thyroid problem. I have heavy parents. I can't help it. I mean, you know, as a heavy kid or as any range of minority, I think
right.
you're going to get bullied, and that's a societal problem. I
right.
think that's, you know, it's just tough being a kid.
But I mean,
these days.
Even the Department of Justice's own statistics and the DOE statistics show that LGBT teens, man, that's hard to say. Are three times more likely to suffer violence
mm-hmm.
from bullying than any other segment within a school.
Right.
Three times more likely. It's not saying that they're more likely to be bullied. It's saying that of all the kids that are bullied, LGBT teens are three times more likely to suffer violence from it.
And to sort of highlight your point, I mean, a great group like the Indiana Youth Group that reaches mm-hmm. out, that is a nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
It's a secular group that reaches out to gay kids, LGBT mm-hmm. kids in Indiana, reach out to them and help them
right.
and mentor them and help them deal with this, you know, just the daily life and some of this bullying. And they had –
And then they get bullied by the state.
And then they get bullied by the state government, and they have a license plate that, you know, basically funds an employee for them. So they have more staff in a nonprofit, believe me. Goodness gracious.
I think that paid for one of the four paid staffers that
right.
they have.
I mean, that's
for a statewide
enormous.
Organization.
I could like triple the party's effectiveness if the LPIN had another employee. And, you know, the right-wing groups here in Indiana went through the government and got that license plate removed just because it supposedly promoted the LGBT lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
When it didn't promote anything. It's not like you saw that license plate and all of a sudden you started like looking at
oh,
guys
Jesus,
funny.
I'm gay now.
like right. and it's not that the Indiana Youth Group is going out and recruiting more gay
right.
kids. It's that they're helping them deal
These
with
these kids
the
actually
everyday.
Have to come to them and say
right.
I'm having problems in my school or I'm having problems at
right.
home.
So I think you're completely right that there is I think it's an uncomfortable tension between the way government has always been and mm-hmm. the progression of society.
I mean, I will
and attitudes
and say
are
that,
sort
that
of rubbing together.
In my own lifetime, I'm only 30.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen miles and miles of progression for acceptance and inclusion. And actually, let me change that. Not acceptance, but tolerance.
Right.
Of the LGBT community. It's been a dramatic change, even just between, you know, the last 15 years for me.
Mm-hmm.
But also, in a lot of areas, I've seen us go back to where we were in the 40s.
Yeah.
You literally have in I believe it was North Carolina. It might be South Carolina. It's wherever Pam Spalding is from, famous lesbian writer. She,
I mean, how did Galt? How do you not know who Pam Spalding is?
That was for the gay listeners out there.
Listen, we only have like four of them, and I know who they are. And I don't. You don't listen.
I don't listen to the show. Are you kidding me? let's give a
listener roll call. Joe Ruiz, Travis Wyke. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
There's more than that.
But so, you know, they're passing the Don't Say Gay bill, which they actually did, which excludes from any curriculum any teacher being able to ever mention anything about homosexuality. And what I mean by that is we're not talking about man-on-man love here. We're talking about Alexander the Great might have been a homosexual because he had this relationship with this person. The number two leader of the civil rights movement with Dr. Martin Luther King was Dr. Green, who was homosexual. Talking about some form – allowing some form of LGBT history, talking about Harvey Milk, the first – actually, I think it was the second gay person ever elected to an office was assassinated. You know, they can't include that history in their curriculum. It's completely excluded. And it goes back to what the Libertarian Party actually fought against back in 1972 in California. It was, David Nolan actually lobbied in California against the Baker Initiative,
mm-hmm.
or what was called Prop 2, which was basically a witch hunt for gay and lesbian teachers. It's the same mentality.
John Hospers, our first presidential candidate, was actually
openly gay in the 70s, 1972.
And Toni Nathan actually was the first female in history to get an electoral vote.
She was the first third-party candidate ever. She was also mm-hmm. the first person who was Jewish, the first woman. There's all kinds of history making that happened with that.
So can I bring this back to Chick-fil-A for a minute?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Because, maybe. Honestly, I prepared for this, and we didn't talk about Chick-fil-A too much.
All right.
I want to say I like your arguments for why you're against Chick-fil-A and what they're doing. It's about Uganda. It's about what the money is actually going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you still support their free speech of giving the money and et cetera.
Yeah, I think they should be legally allowed to do that.
And you say we, mm-hmm. as in this is what we, like why we are protesting Chick-fil-A.
I'm generalizing for the LGBT community.
Right. From what I have witnessed at school with the Nix the Chick and stuff.
Right.
It's not about that. It's really about
that's because they're young.
I know. And they're not.
Listen,
we talked on it for over an hour, and I never heard them ever talk about Uganda.
Right.
It was all just about they're giving money to anti-gay groups, and that's wrong. We should stop them from giving money, or we should get rid of them.
Right.
And that's the only argument I've ever heard.
Well, and actually on the campus setting, I'm totally cool with that because it's a state school. And if they're funding hate groups or organizations that would be classified, actually two of them are actually classified as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah. But we have a Papa John's on campus.
Like somebody wakes up in the morning and they're like, terrorists.
Right. John's given money to Republicans.
Which I don't have a problem with.
But you have a problem with Chick-fil-A being there.
Yes.
I don't see any difference.
I do.
Well,
okay, you got to give us more than that. This is radio, buddy.
Come on.
Can't just say, my opinion, you believe it now.
The reason why is because there are policies in place at universities and schools that you can't discriminate or against students, and public money shouldn't go to organizations that encourage discrimination.
But once the money goes to the Chick-fil-A, it's not public money anymore.
But giving to a Republican,
encouraging discrimination. When I go in, yes, I'm going to a public school.
My tax dollars went to put Chick-fil-A inside your university.
The money they get is my private money.
No, because they're also getting tax dollars to support the building, the infrastructure, everything else. Yeah, no. Actually, I think that those organizations that are on those state facilities should actually be barred from giving anything to anybody, period.
What if Chick-fil-A was a pro-gay organization?
I would not agree with it.
You wouldn't agree with them being there still?
Still.
Well, that's going to be a massive vetting program.
Yes.
For state-sponsored schools.
Well, here's the way you can see.
We have Starbucks, and I'm sure Starbucks is giving money to green initiatives and stuff like that.
Probably not as much as you'd think. They do give a lot of money to Second Amendment organizations.
Okay. I thought they were really environmental.
They probably are.
Maybe not.
I don't know that it's necessarily a good thing that they're even on this property, since it is considered publicly funded property. If it was a private university, I wouldn't care.
It was one of the problems I had when I was when we had the event. Mm-hmm. It was just a debate, really.
Right.
And I was
the problem that
we
I
were
have
there,
with,
and
with
that was the one.
City
the one issue I had was it's a state school,
right?
And I never saw enough to say that it should be banned.
Right.
I mean,
Galt
I
is totally crashing right now, by the way. Can you tell?
Yeah,
Galt is like struggling.
No,
he's
not.
Like, oh, man.
Like, he started off the show. He's like, hey, good morning, campers. Welcome to We Are Me. And now you're like,
you didn't even
he's
let
like
me
looking
intro.
At his phone, trying to find three sentences to put together.
All right, you guys.
I'm
you
so
mess with me more than anyone in the whole world.
I
both
know.
Of you guys.
Because we love you.
Because, well, I don't know about love.
Well, platonically, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spangle loves
give me a bra
Evan
hug.
Doesn't because love
I actually don't
different.
Even like you.
No.
You're the bane of my existence, little goatee.
Don't say bane.
Oh, that's right.
That's offensive.
Sorry.
All right. You have more prepared statements for us.
No, not really. I just...
well,
I
thank you for
I think
time.
That
thanks.
Your argument should be more public.
And my argument
when I
is
see
more
him in
public.
The news, I don't even see that, though.
That's because you're also dealing with the news who wants the cessationism.
Right.
And also, I mean, this was the point that I made to Chris yesterday or the other day or whenever it was he decided to show up.
You're such an asshole. Just trying to get me.
basically, is this which is easier to say to people? Chick-fil-A supports organizations that hate gays, or Chick-fil-A gives part of their profits to organizations that lobby for the death, torture, imprisonment of homosexuals in the United States and across the world.
Right. I understand. I just see – I see it as a big partisan
battle. I mean, there's actually –
that's all I see it as. When the Oreos did the rainbow Oreos,
right.
All the conservatives got up in arms.
Yeah.
And when Chick-fil-A did the anti-gay, all the liberals got up in arms. And
right.
That's how I see it.
And then they should. And they should get up in arms. And they should know where the – you know –
right,
you
they
don't like
they
this, then
something.
Don't support,
but it's just
don't buy Oreos.
It's just exhausting. I'm, like, there's some new, like, hyperbolic argument every
no, I
freaking
think it,
day.
I think it is the best thing that has ever happened to this country. I think the internet with this is the best thing, and here's why. Because these are conversations that have never been had before.
Right.
This is something that never would have reached even Bloomington, Indiana. It would have been on a flyer that nobody would have seen because it would have been hanging at the organic food shop.
You want to know something, though?
But now my grandfather is on Facebook, and he's seeing this, and he's like, Chick-fil-A wants my grandson dead? Well.
Me too.
I can kind of agree with him.
He's a flaming a-hole.
Eric Holder and the Department of Justice might get off because of this, though.
No, they won't.
It's not public anymore. Nobody's talking about Fast and Furious because of this.
Nobody was talking about
300,
it before.
I mean,
300 people died and a chicken sandwich is oppressing you.
I mean, the Colorado shooting
yeah.
and Chick-fil-A are dominating the media.
Right.
And it should be, it should be
but you know,
Fast
but
and Furious and then maybe
but the
Chick-fil-A.
Group of guys that I was talked to the older gentleman in, they're all in their 70s. None of them knew a thing about the Chick-fil-A thing,
right?
Except for one of them, and it was probably like
it's
10
not
guys.
It's not dominating the news. If you actually watch the news on a TV, which the vast majority of older folks actually still do, it gets like maybe 15 seconds.
I think this is an internet thing because where do we get our news?
Right.
Facebook.
And
then I apologize for saying it's dominating the media because I guess I don't really watch the media.
Yeah.
Reddit.
Read,
you just watch.
I read on
Facebook
internet.
And Jon Stewart are not the media.
Oh, please. He reads Reddit, so he sees the he sees the
Reddit's,
internet 2 days
Reddit's,
before you do.
Reddit's pretty liberal. So
I know. If
I take it with a grain of salt most of the time.
But actually, some of the one of the most popular images that has been on Facebook so far actually is the picture of Chick-fil-A, and then it has red bullet points underneath it that outlines the organizations that they've given and what they do. And that is the most popular one. So it is actually
right.
reinstating
Reddit,
or reinforcing
Reddit
that.
Reddit is usually good at digging down into the facts.
Right.
A lot more than the news does.
Oh.
I think that this is actually, and I'll get on my
Facebook
soapbox,
people.
This is one of the other broader points that I wanted to bring up. As an evangelical Christian, like, it really bothers me that this is our focus. That
yeah.
this is like of all the social issues that our groups and our you know our Christian organizations could fund, it's like this is the issue that you guys pick when
right.
there's like people outside shaking cups at me who
yeah.
and they're oh, well, they're homeless, so what? It's because they're mentally ill and they need a place to go, and there's no hospital here in Indianapolis for the mentally ill.
I know a lot of evangelicals that are doing homeless stuff right now.
I know, but it's the overarching sort of it's not the local groups. It's
the family research. It's social conservatives. They pick this is their issue.
Right.
When it could easily be something like poverty and education.
Or war. Right. Drones, for goodness sake. I mean, the Methodist.
Instead they're like, hey, let's keep them queers over there from having any rights.
I'm a Methodist, and the Methodist Church, one of their biggest issues is drones.
I don't know why, but they
fighting drones.
All of the social conservatives have that accent.
Yeah. Yeah. I think your bias. Put that away. Your bias is showing.
I can't take you seriously waving that rainbow flag.
I know. I'm sitting here talking about I'm a Methodist, and I'm waving a rainbow flag here. I just always have to have something to play
with.
It
was from Easter, right?
No, yes, this is an Easter flag. No, I think it just bugs me that this is like the issue, because for a person who does go on Reddit, like, it's just so atheist I want to throw up.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we're the subject of mocking because
so are libertarians, though. I get on there and if you say anything libertarian, they just all of them jump on you, and I can't even debate on there because there's so many of the people that will attack me.
Right. It seems to be...
I posted our Occupy video that YL made, and let's just say if you could have negative score, it would have had like negative 200.
It was
all down votes and all negative comments.
I always post this show on Reddit, and Chris and I are the only ones that ever upvote, so please give us some karma. My username is C Spangle. So, all right. Well... We've got about
how much time?
Probably about 10 minutes.
Okay.
So let's
talk Colorado.
Let's talk Colorado because we need to touch on it.
Christian,
are you all right, man?
No. Go ahead.
We need to take you to the hospital.
I was gonna say Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. Way to start off. He's like, I'm gonna start off by talking about the Aurora, Colorado shootings by talking about Batman. Look, so all right. This is my main gripe with everything that happened, because I'm not going to look at it as, you know, a time to talk about the good or the bad. I'm going to talk about things that pissed me off.
Yay!
And I think the thing that just annoys me, and I actually got in trouble from some Facebook friends for this, I was like, just chill out. Can we not 24 hours after the shooting start talking about having more guns or less guns?
Damn you, Chris, that's exactly when you have these debates.
<I know. laughs> It's just like, and Jon Stewart did a whole segment about what an a-hole I am for saying that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, when these tragedies happen, I think part of what people need to do is just respect the fact that the nation is in mourning.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, whether you think they should be in mourning or not for people that they don't even know, they are, because it's sad and they can relate to it. And you look at the stories, and it makes you sad. So, like, going on and talking about how better off would every person in that room having a gun, how better off would they be? Or we need to get rid of all AK-47s, like, 10 minutes after the tragedy happened. Like, it just is like rubbing salt in an emotional wound.
The truest meme I've ever seen.
Right.
It was right after it happened, and it said, prepare yourselves.
Yeah,
we're about to have a bunch of gun experts.
Right. Like, it just and so my
you know what really bothers me.
I plea for you just to put a 24-hour moratorium on your opinion after one of these natural these tragedies.
This
national
whole thing actually really, really hit me hard.
Really.
That night, and then the next day, and I was actually in Bloomington visiting my cancer-ridden mother.
Okay. Mutter. Thanks for whipping out the C card.
I know.
Man, you come on the podcast and you whip out the C card? Wow.
Yeah.
Hi, jeez. Mom.
Hope radiation's going well.
Man,
so
you win. You won the debate today.
So I'm down there, and me and my best friend, you know, he lives in Bloomington. He's getting ready to move to Austin, Texas. We're really excited. We're going to go see Batman together. We've seen them together. We're huge fans. We share stories online together, pictures of
you hold
the Batman
hands
releases.
And skip through the
we
fields.
Do. We do. And we were both, you know, first thing in the morning, I don't want to go.
Right.
Yeah.
We've been waiting 2 years for this movie, and I don't want to go.
Right.
And it wasn't because, like, somebody called me a wuss and told me not to let the terrorists win. You know, because don't be afraid. I said, it has nothing to do with fear. I'm not afraid that I'm going to go to a showing anywhere and there be another shooting.
Right.
It's the emotional impact that it had on me, and I was trying to explain it to my mother and my aunt.
And it feels disrespectful.
It's not even that, because
I don't think about other people. Right. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I forgot
who you were talking to.
You work in politics. Yeah. You're dead inside.
for many, many years now. No, I was talking to my mother and my aunt about it, and I was trying to explain to them why I was so upset and why I didn't want to go see it and why I had been following this movie for so long. And the conversation kind of went something like this. Batman, the series, is basically a reflection of my generation and how we feel about how our future has been stolen from us. And, you know, I went through the movie and I said the first one was about one person standing up and seeing that the world was rotten and that things were going bad and decided he could either profit from it or he could do something about it. The second one was about continuing that, but also the people starting to see that the world was rotten.
And that
they needed
to. And the third one was about the rise of the police state.
No, the third one was the people rising up and doing something about it, but doing it in the wrong way and listening to the wrong person who ultimately becomes the new tyrant.
Right.
And it's about the forces that had never been together before coming together to try to overturn that. And I said, that's where we are. This is a reflection of what we're actually going through. And, of course, my aunt says to me, well, every generation feels that the generation before them, you know, screwed them over. And I said, really? How did you get through the 2 to 5 wars that you guys faced and the Great Depression and the $150,000 of student loan debt and the can't even get a minimum wage job? How did you manage to go through that? Oh, that's right. You didn't have that.
Oh,
you didn't have the President of the United States signing executive orders to have you arrested without cause.
And your future of paying off not only your debt, but the nation's debt for things you don't even want.
Right. You know, this wasn't...
It's not like it's Pez.
And
shut up.
And the outrage from the Occupy movement is that there is nothing we can do about it.
Right.
We work in politics and we fight this crap every day, and we are still powerless because the system has built the castle around itself that we can't get through the keep, that we can't redress our government, that we're left standing outside shaking our fists, watching as they destroy our futures.
So if you see a guy running around in tights downtown later, it's probably Evan.
It might be. Well, but so that when that's the emotional buildup for me and a lot of other people, and a lot of people don't even realize that that's their emotional buildup.
Right. Completely.
And then you people, you're up at night and you're excited. I'm excited with my you know, we're going to go see it first showing in the morning. And I'm happen to be up and I see this and it's, I can't even have I can't have the movie have a happy ending. I mean, I know my life isn't going to.
You can't even have that outlet without it being tainted.
Right.
Right.
That I've got to sit in here and think about that this whack job came in here and killed people because of whatever message.
Right. And I always think like, oh crap, please tell me he's not an LPIN member. Or, you know, like he's not a libertarian, because that happened with the Oklahoma City bombing. The fact that, you know, Timothy McVeigh said he closely identifies with the libertarians and their ideology.
Every libertarian wanted to duck their head out and hide.
No, and it was the most beautiful response, because Steve Dazbach, who is a Hoosier, who was national chair at the time, came out and said, every libertarian, when they become a member of the party, signs a pledge that says, I will not initiate force or violence to achieve social or political goals. And he clearly does not meet that standard. And I think that's actually something that I think that's why libertarians will succeed, but people like the Tea Party won't, is because we are founded on a principle of nonviolence, of peace, not to use the government to force other people to do what we want them to do. I think that's, you know, and that's what we've talked about today, right, is people wanting to use the violence of government,
right,
to use the force of government to achieve a social end.
When I think it should just be, use the force of your wallet, not funding them anymore.
Right.
You don't like it, don't spend your money there.
Right. And that really is what it comes down to. Yeah. I think it's, you know, there are so many things that people on the left and the right think that they can, if we just pass a law, it's
right,
going to fix this.
Everything will be better.
Emotional or biological or spiritual or physical problem. If we just pass a law, it'll be better. And it's like, no, it's just going to make it worse. It's like a dam. It just messes up the river. You know? I don't know if that really worked, but yeah, think about it. You'll figure it out later. So, Galt.
What's up?
You all right?
I'm great.
All right, man. Let me see your eyes.
Some more Red Bull.
I haven't.
Whoa, that was super slow-mo.
He didn't even get his glasses off. I wish you guys.
How much time we got left?
We so need video.
We're pretty much done here in a minute or so. So let's start wrapping up. So, Galt.
So we got a minute left to make fun of Chris.
Chris Galt, what's wrong with you?
There's always time to make fun of Chris Galt.
We'll have
by the way, you look awesome as R2-D2, by the way.
We'll have to post that picture of James Neese, who is one of our candidates, who is a hilarious kid. He's in District 100, did this Photoshop of a bunch of libertarians in Star Wars. Not Star Trek.
Why couldn't
you almost got some hate, man?
Why couldn't the nerds pick like one like Galaxy Wars and then Star Trek,
Battlestar Galactica,
right? And then we have all that. So,
amen.
But check that out at wearelibertarians.com. That'll take you to the Facebook page. We have Google Plus for the four of you that are on there, and then we also we had an episode last week. We will post it after we edit it. We have a very special episode. We have an interview with a person who's in active duty military, and he's a little nervous, so now I have to go back and re-edit a few more things. So that's why it's taken so long. But we do have an episode for you last week, so eventually you're going to get more We Are Libertarians.
Double feature.
Yeah, more We Are Libertarians than you can possibly handle. So I want to thank Evan McMahon for joining us today. Thank you, Evan.
Thanks for having me on and yelling at me. It's awesome.
I think really it was the other way around.
I was a gentleman and polite the entire time. I don't think I raised my voice once.
You told me to shut up.
Gentleman has gentle in it, and there's nothing gentle about you.
I'm a cuddly little teddy bear.
Wait until you see the title of this show.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
William Belli, Detox, and Vicky. You might feel shame. You're an abomination. We might cross dress, but that's not what's to blame. Making our coins, but it's all for food. We'll do anything, we're down for groups. After taking some dudes from behind. All we wanna score is chicken fried. Have it your way.
filleting. Don't matter if you're gay. I said no mayonnaise. Fuck. Spicy fried chicken may burn. Whole out string ring for days, but that chicken's worth the pain.
I've seen the rainbow, and on the other side there was a bucket of Polynesians. Taught me to dip my nuggets in. Why is it because I live my life so gay? I should not eat Chick-fil-A. I'm gonna eat it anyway. They say his promise is true, but what if you are a Jew? They need a kosher meal too to bring their life to a new. Clothes on Sundays, it is awful. Now there's tears in my eyes. No more waffle fries. My only bleeding hope is for the fact that can't cope with the fact that they hate gays, but their food is so dope. The chicken's a blame, like shooting cane into your own vein. What a shame you don't enjoy the chicken for a blame. You'll get missed, but to eat there is delicious when I've got an appetite. I ain't got no pride. We queens are bottomless piss, forever in the drive-thru. Honey mustard on my tits, I'ma be enough for you.
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna gobble up a waffle fry. But no, no, don't you know Chick-fil-A, say you make the baby Jesus cry. To the booth, gay for pay. Even dykes say yay. So chow down at Chick-fil-A. Chicken chow down. Chicken chow down.
I'll eat up all this shit. That's mine. That's
chicken
mine.
Chow down, baby.
I don't wanna pass that sauce, girl.
Put it in your mouth. Don't matter if you're gay. Just chow down at Chick-fil-A.
This podcast is produced by What is a Hoosier Productions.